We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another section of your word, which is filled with instruction for us. And we pray that you open the meaning of Scripture to us as only you can do, and that you prepare our hearts and make them receptive to it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I hold in my hands a copy of the Westby Times. It's not the biggest newspaper in the world, but its promise is this. It's the only newspaper in the world that gives a hoop for Westby, Coon Valley, and Chaseburg. And so things that happen in our little village that larger papers wouldn't even think of mentioning, usually you can find them in the Westby Times. But there are some things that you won't find there either. An example would be if you go on a picnic and you forget the picnic lunch. That won't make the Westby Times. It does, however, make Holy Scripture. We have here a little incident, a daily thing in a family situation, really, with Jesus with his disciples. A little incident here that you wouldn't think the Holy Spirit would even feel like mentioning, but he does. And in the process, gives us some important lessons. So what we're going to do here is read through the text. It's very simple. It's forthright, easy to understand. And then look at some of the lessons that come from it. So here's where we start out. We're in Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship or the boat with them more than one loaf. So it's kind of like going on a picnic and forgetting the lunch. It's not the worst thing in the world, but it bothered the disciples. And they started arguing. He charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and the leaven of Herod. So Jesus is giving them an important lesson. But they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. He's chewing us out because we forgot the picnic lunch, and now we're going to have to go buy bread from the Pharisees. And he's saying, don't do that. Get it somewhere else. But when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Why are you concerned with that? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Have you got a hardened heart, you guys? What's the problem? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? Now think about this, you guys. When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? If Christ could feed 5,000 people, plus 5,000 men, plus women and children, with 5 loaves of bread, why should the disciples be concerned when they only have one loaf and there's only 12 of them? Or if he could feed 4,000 with 7 loaves of bread and have all these things left up afterwards in the fragments, why should the disciples be worried about a couple sandwiches that they forgot to take along? Christ is talking here on a very high spiritual plane, and the disciples are groveling in the dirt about a few sandwiches. Christ has just had hot contention with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And now he's telling the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod. Okay, so he's talking here about leaven. Lesson number one. How does the Holy Spirit use the word leaven in the Bible? And we're looking at the King James translation here. And you find out that the word leaven is used 23 times. 23 hits. But they're divided. Usually, leaven is used in a bad sense. But not always. There's one time when it's used in a good sense. So of the 23 hits, you divide it into 22 and 1. 22 bad things, 1 good thing. Looking at numbers in Scripture, 22 is a bad number. It's composed of 11 times 2. 11 itself is a bad number. It's one more than 10 and one less than 12. 10 and 12 are good numbers in Scripture. 11 is right in the middle. You add one or you take away one. That's the devil's game with Scripture. He either adds to it or takes away from it. The number 11 signifies that. It's terrible. It's a terrible number. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, and 1 Corinthians written by Paul, chapter 5, verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? The point with leaven here, used in a bad way, is that it has a mysterious growth. A mysterious growth. But now we have one example where leaven is used in a good sense. And here we learn something. It's in Luke chapter 13. Luke 13 verse 20 and verse 21. And he said unto them, wherefore shall I liken the kingdom of God? What can I compare it to? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. Now, in both cases, in the bad case and the good case, the point with leaven is that it has mysterious growth. And if it's true that evil has a way of growing mysteriously, it is blessedly also true that the Holy Spirit grows the church in the same mysterious way. You can't see it grow. Well, why can't you? Because the kingdom of God is in the hearts of his people. And you can't look into the heart. It's a secret growth. And here you see an example of how the Holy Spirit often works. He takes the weapon that the devil is using and uses it against the devil himself. This was foreshadowed when David slew Goliath. How did David finally end the battle? He ran and took Goliath's sword and cut off his own head with it. Goliath perished by his own sword, the sword that he had used to kill so many others. Well, the Holy Spirit does that too. It's a blessed 180-degree turn. Let's not forget that. So the mysterious growth of the church. It's something that many of the churches of our own day should realize in view of the godless church growth movement that we see going on. Change or die. No, you don't change. Okay, lesson number 2. This is very important. They all are important. The literal interpretation of Scripture or the spiritual interpretation. There are times when a piece of Scripture can be looked at in both ways. There's a literal meaning to it, and there's a spiritual meaning to it. But there are also times when there's just a literal meaning, or there's just a spiritual meaning. And you and I have to be able to tell. We've got to know this. Jesus is talking about the leaven of the Pharisees, and he's talking about a spiritual thing. The disciples are looking at it literally, and they're missing the whole point. This is so important, but it's so difficult. You have to have the Holy Spirit, and you have to know Scripture. It's interpreting Scripture with Scripture. That's what it is. And this takes a prayerful guidance by the Holy Spirit and a daily meditating upon the Word of God if you're going to be able to do this. Well, how important is it? I'll show you how important it is. We're going to Matthew chapter 17. And in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 17, beginning of verse 9, talking about Elias, which is the Old Testament Elijah. So Jesus has just taken Peter, James, and John up to the top of the mount, and his body was miraculously transformed before their eyes. The Greek word is metamorphosized. And so they're coming down from the mountain, and as they came down, I'm starting now in Matthew 17, verse 9, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, commanded them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." Now the disciples have a question. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Why then do the scribes say that Elias or Elijah must first come?" Why they do that? We're going to look at that in a minute. But Jesus said to them, Jesus answered and said to them, "Elijah truly shall come first and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not. But they have done unto him whatever they listed or pleased. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Then the disciples understood that he spoke unto them of John the Baptist. The passage that we're going to read next is from the last book of the Old Testament. It's Malachi. And these are the final words of the last book of the Old Testament. So people remember this. And it reads this way, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Talking about the judgment. "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest he come and smite the earth with a curse." So, God promised that before the Savior was going to come, Elijah would come to announce his coming. After these words, there followed 400 years of silence. No prophet came for 400 years. And the people were waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally, the silence was broken. It was broken when John the Baptist came. But the point of it is, the scribes missed it. Who are the scribes? These were the guys that were the professional students of Scripture. They knew Scripture forwards and backwards. They made copies of it. If anybody should know Scripture, it's the scribes. And they missed it. They missed the coming of Elijah. Why did they miss it? They missed it because they weren't guided by the Holy Spirit. That's why. And they took these words from Malachi chapter 4, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and the dreadful day of the Lord." They took those literally. And the words should have been taken spiritually. So here these professionals missed it. But the commoners got it. How could they get it? The scribes should have known this. Listen to Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to read, there's a happening here that's, I'm going to read all of it, because this is why the scribes missed it. For as, okay, Luke chapter 1 verse 1, Luke writing to his friend Theophilus, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they deliver them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses, by the way, and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." I'm going to tell you the truth. A lot of people are making up lies about this. "I've got perfect understanding of it," Luke says. "I'll tell you the way it really happened." Okay, how does he start out? "There was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God." That means they were true believers in the coming Savior. They were God's children. "Walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they now both were well stricken in years." See, a couple of gray-headed people, they're old. So, Zacharias is in the temple there, offering, "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense." You got all these people out there, and Zacharias walks in to offer incense. And then something happened. "There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense." Now, the people didn't see that because that was behind the curtain there, but Zacharias did. That did. "And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled." Who wouldn't be? Here, you see an angel. That didn't happen every day. And he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." So Zacharias undoubtedly had been praying time after time after time after time for a child. And it sounded like the prayer wasn't heard, but the angel said it was. And now it's going to be answered, and Elizabeth, your barren wife, is going to become pregnant, and she's going to give birth to a son. And you're supposed to call his name John. "Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord." In the sight of the Lord he shall be great. As far as the people were going, they put him to death, cut his head off. "But he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." Okay, so this happening was an amazing happening. I didn't read all of it yet. I'm going to finish it. But it was an amazing happening, and people knew about it. They heard about this. And then the angel said concerning John the Baptist, or concerning the son called John, yeah, "He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. These are the words taken directly from the final two verses of the Old Testament. How could you miss it if you knew Scripture? If you were guided by the Holy Spirit, you couldn't miss it. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. It's not going to be the literal Elijah. That's not what that verse in Malachi means. It means there's going to be a prophet that goes in the spirit and power of Elijah. He's going to preach the same way Elijah did. There's going to be a lot of parallels between him and Elijah. And the result is going to be, just like the Old Testament Malachi said, he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. We are not talking about peanuts here. This is important. The scribes, who were the, quote, professional students of Scripture, unquote, in our terminology, the seminary professors that taught Greek and Hebrew, they missed it. And because they missed it, they missed Jesus Christ. And it didn't make any difference how many miracles Jesus did, and all the sermons he preached, this, that, and every other, they missed it because, well, Elijah hasn't come first yet. And the Bible says Elijah's going to come first. So Jesus can't be the Son of God like he says he is, even though he can raise people from the dead. He's getting his power from Beelzebub, the prince of the devil, and he can't be the Son of God because Elijah hasn't come yet. Well, Elijah did come, but they missed it. And because they missed it, they went to hell. They missed identifying Jesus Christ because they misunderstood the Old Testament prophecy in Malachi. They interpreted it literally instead of spiritually. Why did they make this mistake? They cut their eye teeth on Scripture every day. How could they make this mistake? It's because they forgot rule number one. And rule number one is, before you study Scripture, pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you're not going to get a true understanding of it. And they missed rule number two, which is never forget rule number one. And because they didn't do this, they missed the coming of Elijah. It's tough. A fatal mistake, and they paid for it eternally. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Well, what really is the leaven of the Pharisees? We don't have to guess about that. Holy Spirit tells us. He tells us that in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 9, and Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's what the Pharisees were. That's a good explanation of what the Pharisees were. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Everybody else was wrong, but the Pharisees were right. Here is a parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I think he was praying to himself too, not to God. And he said, now, here is what a Pharisee is. Here's the leaven of the Pharisees. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, this guy in the back of the temple. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all I possess. I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. It's what we believe by nature. Our nature tells us We've got to do something to save ourselves. That's what that's the leaven of the Pharisees. It creeps in so easily. How many people in the churches of our own day have it, and they don't even know it. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's called repentance. That's what John the Baptist preached. That's what Elijah preached. That's what Jesus preached. Luther said, you can't have repentance every single day. He's got that right. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every man that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This is important. Question. How would you like to approach the judgment seat of the Almighty God with these words? God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men are. And I do this, and I do that, and I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of everything. How would you like to approach a judgment seat of Almighty God with those words? That is terrifying. The problem is not only, though, with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That leaven spread because they were teaching it to others. Not only were they going to hell, but they were taking other people to hell with them. And they're described as being people who were so zealous that they had crossed the country, crawling around on their hands and knees to make one convert, and when they'd make them twice as much a child of hell as they were. So they're twice cursed. Example, Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 16. And behold, one came unto him, said unto him, Good master. The good part's all right, but the master part isn't. Good teacher. The guy recognized that Christ was good, but he didn't come to him as a savior. He came to him as a teacher. Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Well, he wanted eternal life. That's good. We should all want that. We should be more concerned about that than anything else. And he was. What good thing shall I do? That's the problem. What should I do? I do. That's what the Pharisees talk about. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. And the kid should have said, that's what I meant. I believe you're God. I believe you're the Son of God. He didn't say that. He remained quiet. And then Jesus said, If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. That's the rule. If you keep all commandments, you're not going to die. He saith unto him, Which ones? Now let's get specific here. What are you talking about? And Jesus, now he quotes, half of the commandments talk about our relationship to God. The other half of the Ten Commandments talk about our relationship to our neighbor. The relationship to our neighbor is the easiest one to keep. And that's what Jesus hits. He says, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. These are commandments. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. This is the leaven of the Pharisees. This is what he was taught. When God says, Thou shalt not kill, he's talking about taking a sword and lopping somebody's head off. But you can hate him all you want, and that's all right. You can pound him to within an inch of his life, and as long as he's still breathing when you walk away, that's all right. You haven't broke that commandment. Not commit adultery. Well, that means you're not supposed to physically have sex with a woman. It's not your wife. You can lust after her in your heart, and that's all right. It doesn't make any difference. You haven't broke the commandment. He was looking at all these things literally. And no, he hadn't literally shot anybody and killed them or lived to commit adultery. He hadn't stole. He didn't steal anything. He didn't lie. He thought he honored his father and his mother. Thought he loved his neighbor. This is the leaven of the Pharisees. This is what the young man was taught. And he believed it. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, and that's what you, if you're going to keep the law and be saved by that, that you got to keep it perfectly. And by the way, that wouldn't be enough either. Because if you can keep the law perfectly, you don't earn heaven by that. You just say to God, I'm an unprofitable servant. I've only done that which you commanded me to do. You got to do something more than be perfect. But Jesus is lowering the standard here. He says to the young man, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And he found out, you know, the first command is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And he had broken that one. Money, mammon, was his god. And as perfect as he thought he was far from it. Now the question is this. How would you like to approach the judgment seat of Almighty God with this? All these commandments have I kept from my youth up. This is tragic. Souls are being lost by the leaven of the Pharisees and the scribes. And that's what Jesus is concerned about here. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He's not talking about a loaf of bread. He's talking about eternity. And only the Holy Spirit can enlighten us by giving us the meaning of these words, and he will do it. I'm going to close by giving the Lord's description of one part of the final judgment. And here you are going to see people who were affected by the leaven of the Pharisees and the scribes. And you're going to see the tragic result of it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Son of God talking. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? But then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.